Red on Red.
This week on the podcast, we're joined in studio by Leaside hardcore heroes Worn Out.
Resistance. Our silence is resistance. Our stand. What's this? Represent. Who is done?
A double dose of Corkonian heaviness there. Baylor with Crawl Back and Zora with Ruthless Bastard. Of course, Zora are playing this Saturday night at Cypress Avenue for the Metal United Worldwide gig happening from about 3 o'clock till closure at Cypress Avenue, presented by Petrophile Promotions and Boojum. For more information, plus a documentary on the metal scene in Cork, be sure to check out Petrophile Promotions on Facebook. Tickets €20, available from cypressavenue.ie or the bar at the Old Oak. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, dropping every Wednesday evening via Cork's Red FM and redextra.ie. We're also available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify and other podcasting platforms. My name is Mike McGrath-Bryan, and this week, speaking of all things Leaside Heaviosity, ahead of their big gig a little bit later this month at Fred Zeppelin's. Please welcome to the studio Evan Prendergast.
How you doing?
Xander Collin.
How's it going?
Alex Enrich.
Hey, how are you doing?
Not too bad at all now. Fred's a little bit later this month and splitting a tour also with Belfast lads, Sex Hardcore.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could actually say that or what. Like.
Oh, we're a podcast, all right. It's people's responsibility as to whether or not they listen to us.
Oh, fucking class.
So, yeah. What are your thoughts heading into it?
Really excited now because I think this is going to be the showcase of just the new version of Worn Out. You know, like we hid away and just kind of really put our focus on writing and making sure that we would become the best new version of ourselves. Like, that sounds like some kind of meme, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about time that we did a headline show as well.
Yeah, yeah. It really, really is. Like,
I'm surprised you haven't done so before, actually.
Yeah, I think it was just we're getting a lot of really good supports and stuff, but it was, I don't know, just something wasn't pushing it to do it. I think we were just constantly waiting until we had an EP to do it and we wanted to do something big. But I think at this stage now, it's like there's no point in us waiting. I think it's the last couple of gigs that we've done, we've just been like, what the hell are we waiting for? Like, I don't know what it was really that was stopping us doing it. But
maybe the slow burn mentality?
Yeah, maybe, in a sense. I think it was also just like we were doing so much and felt like maybe we hadn't got to that level. Do you know, like we were, our writing wasn't at the level where we deemed it to be, to, you know, headline, like to be that big thing that people would actually pay money specifically to go see you. And I feel like now we've definitely have the songs behind us now. We definitely have the songs behind us.
We'll talk a little bit more about the new version of Worn Out a little bit later on. But first, the band came together a little under 2 years ago, I want to say now.
Yeah.
As in, like, was revealed to the public, right?
Revealed to the public, yeah, a little under 2 years ago.
Maybe bring us a little bit into how Worn Out came together, where the idea came from.
So, like, our original guitarist, Isaac, he was away abroad for a while, and as soon as he came back, I was always on to him about starting a band, because I knew we had the same type of music taste and stuff. So we eventually just got together, and then on the other side, then we had Evan and Brian. Yeah. And then they have their own.
Yeah, it was all very kind of organic as well. Like, I think the two lads were looking to start a band. I was looking to start a band, and we just kind of met in the middle. I think even the first time I remember talking to Isaac about it, it was almost like, yeah, maybe some kind of Alice in Chains-ish thing.
And then we wanted more trash talking.
Yeah, yeah. And the second we got in, I was just, we'll see what happens. And it just came out with, I think we wrote Circle the first version of Circle the Drain at the first practice. So it was just kind of head first into it. Like,
that hardcore influence was immediate, and the lads, of course, naturally have form in different hardcore bands or metalcore bands, deathcore bands, etc. Regarding getting sat down and into studio, and kind of once the initial ideas and influences had been worked out, how did you kind of settle upon, you know, a dynamic for yourselves and a routine for yourselves as a band? Kind of once that kind of early feeling out process is done, what's the time like in between getting that stuff written and announcing your presence with a debut single release and a video release all before your first live excursion?
Yeah, we kind of, I think we planned it well. We were hiding away writing. We didn't have any plan to gig. We had no goal on when we wanted to do it, but we kind of set ourselves small goals in front of us. So
we wanted to do it right. Is that,
yeah, we wanted to do it right. We didn't kind of want to do one of those things where we start a Facebook page and then just put pictures of drumsticks on the floor being like, something is coming, you know?
Yeah.
So we hid away, we wrote, we booked Aidan before. We had like two half songs, so we booked Aidan for like 2 months later.
To this be is like, Aidan Cunningham Aidan of Murdoch fame.
Murdoch fame, all right. And yeah, we booked it just because, you know what, if we have something that's making us, you know, it has to be good, it has to be done at a certain time rather than it just be too laxy-daisy. and there was a few songs we were choosing on, but we went with False Hope, and I'm delighted we kind of did it that way, just because I think having that goal to work towards when it's real, that like you have to get it done, rather than it just be, oh, we can put this off, we'll get to it next week. It was like there was no getting to it next week. It had to happen there and then, so you kind of put yourself in the headspace of making it work.
Was it hard for you to kind of keep its existence under wraps, especially with, you know, all the excitement happening, you know, among four or five of you and a close circle of friends that know about it, before, you know, finally coming through with it? I think it was just before Christmas.
Yeah, it was just before Christmas. We were lucky as well, because we had a tour with Hero and Error booked and ready to go, and I think we were like, what was it, 2 or 3 days or something, yeah, before we were going to start the page, announce the tour, and then have the single. But the whole tour got cancelled. Like, I felt like I literally had my finger on the publish button.
Yeah.
And thank God that happened, because we would, if we published the page and put out the single, it would have been another 2 months, I think, before what ended up being our first gig with Godmother.
Yeah.
So in a way, thank God we didn't.
Thank you, Hero and Error.
Yeah, thank you, lads.
You mentioned Godmother, of course, and your first gig, your first live excursion, is in UCC's new bar, supporting one of Dillinger Escape Plan's mentees, so to speak, via the Party Smasher Inc. project in Godmother. I was there on the night, and it was about as close to an organised demolition as one could imagine. And it was one of those situations where it was really unique in that the new bar hasn't played host to a whole bunch of new live music in a regular capacity in a long time. So you lads ended up loading in and sound checking amid exams happening. Would that be correct?
That was true. Do you remember that?
I was dying sick as well, and I was just like, kept screaming. And there was people still in the bar just like, what is this dude doing?
Yeah.
But it turned out well, so.
Yeah, there was, I remember, before we even got there, I don't know if it was on the examiners or something, but came out to Chris or Alex and started giving out, being like, there's exams going on and all this. And it's funny, that was the closest we ever got to, well, the closest I ever got to a UCC exam anyway, which is funny with me. Like.
But from there then, obviously, like, the timing of Warnout's arrival is impeccable, because the year prior, Baylor announced their presence in a big way, and in 2017, their national touring starts ramping up. God Alone and other younger bands start to kind of announce their presence a little bit. Lads like Eponym all start kind of congealing and start playing their first gigs out. And it seems to me like metal in Cork always kind of happens in waves. It always comes and goes. Projects, you know, ebb and flow with people's availabilities or people's, you know, where people are in life. Mm. Talk to us a little bit, I suppose, about how you felt about, you know, your place in Cork's metal scene, or the Cork metal scene in general, as it was coming together for you.
I remember when we first started, it was, because there was so much happening at that time. Like, there was a gig nearly in Poor Relation every week, you know. So it just felt really good to be. We actually did feel like we were part of something, and something that you could also be proud of, because the bands that were there as well were, and are still great. You know, it was nice when, I think the Selkies came out, they started releasing stuff after us, and it felt nice to not be the babies, like, just to hand the torch, being like, Selkies are awesome, but so it was nice to hand the torch and be like, come on, now we need more bands, like, it's really good to feel part of something, like.
Speaking of Selkies, we're going to hear from them right now as part of the playlist that you've assembled for this episode of the podcast. Earlier on, we heard from Baylor and Zora, and with Selkies, you've got their debut single, Clubbing Baby Seals, which is a song about baby seals going out on the tear, as opposed to acts of violence being inflicted upon baby seals.
I love Selkies. I think that I usually just have Clubbing Baby Seals stuck in my head. The song, not actually Clubbing Baby Seals. Mm-hmm. But I think they're a band now that every single time I see them live, I think live is where you really, really should see them. They're so tight. And they have such a specific sound, like, straight away when they started.
Progressive hardcore.
Yeah, like, but Selkies have their version of it. Like, you know, they really, I think they're, if they, I can imagine now if they went and recorded with Aidan, that's going to be something absolutely insane. Like, I really hope that they do
please give them ideas.
I live with Luke. I've given him ideas. Like, no one listens to me.
We listen to you, and we're listening to you on Red on Red. But before we hear from Selkies, we also have a related project with God Alone and Dogda.
I think when bands come on this, I think it should just be a staple that they're going to play God Alone. Like, if a band comes on this and doesn't play God Alone, I want nothing to do with you.
Like, the first time I saw God Alone, like, I was watching with Evan, like, and we were just bursting out laughing at how good they are. Like,
yeah.
As in, their drummer is ridiculous. Like,
they're a ridiculous band. It's a ridiculous blend of influences. And again, we've talked at length here about kind of the youth factor that's going on before them as well, and just kind of how much better are they going to be.
But this is the thing, like, if I said it before, that if everything that, if they're the future, like, then we, oh, Cork music is golden, man. We are so okay. If more bands their age start coming out, then that's going to be a huge resurgence of a scene, you know.
And that's the same is true across all the genres. We're going to hear from God Alone with Dogda in just a moment, but first, this is Selkies with Clubbing Baby Seals here on Red on Red. Blood is slow. Bring me home. No life. This gun. Got Alone with Dagda, taken from their Paul Namron LP, available now for streaming across all digital services and gotalone.bandcamp.com. This is Red on Red, still joined in studio by Evan, Xander and Alex of Worn Out, ahead of their big gig at Fred Zeppelin's in a couple of weeks' time. Before the jump, we were talking a little bit about how the band came together, early writing sessions, the dynamic, and just the timing of your arrival in the Cork music scene. And a couple of singles, a couple of videos, and a brace of supporting gigs down the line, you are now getting ready to unleash what you're telling us is your debut extended player. I suppose, talk to us a little bit about the writing and creative process for ye after a personnel change, and with, I suppose, the initial hurdles out of the way for the band.
So I think, like, I joined, like, by the beginning of this year, and right away, just from the first practice on, we hit it and started writing music. First we just wanted to, like, get the set list down so I get comfortable in the songs, but, like, in the first practice, we actually wrote, like, the skeleton of the first song.
Yeah.
And that's where we knew, okay, this is going somewhere, we have, like, a good chemistry going on, and... Also, I think, like, I have a different style from Isaac, the old guitar player, who was a good guitar player, of course, but I bring some different influences into it, like, before.
We still have... It sounds like Worn Out, but it just sounds like the new, improved version of it, you know? I think
Worn Out 2.0.
Yeah, absolutely.
You mentioned there at the outset, Alex, you've come along and replaced Isaac Reardon as a guitarist, and with a personnel change comes a little bit of a style change. Maybe talk to us a little bit about how the dynamic of the band kind of differed in those kind of intermittent jam sessions as things are coming together.
Well, I don't know how it has been before, but right now, like, Evan, Brian, our bass player, and I, we just, like, write out some ideas, get them down during practice, and then we're going to record them, like, really get a skeleton of a song going, and then go from there.
In terms, then, of an extended player, obviously sitting down, collating ideas, getting together, you know, lyrical themes and concepts, and making sure there's something that's coherent for a record. Kind of, what's your process, if any, for this extended player as a body of work? Is there any kind of underlying concept? And kind of, what's your vision for this, really?
We haven't really thought about an actual almost theme of it, because at the moment we're writing so fast, and everything's, you know, we're writing on such a faster scale than we ever have, and things are a lot more technical than they ever have been, so we haven't really set a theme for it. It's just a couple of absolutely banging tunes, really. Like, I could get into, like, a really in-depth thing about it, but
well, like,
just
when I
banging tunes.
When I write guitarists, I actually have like a vision in mind when I write song after song after song, because I think it has to be coherent. I don't think that we have like a concept behind it, but I like to write really fast music, really relentless music that's really a bit uncomfortable, and it's also gonna be a lot more dissonant, like the old stuff before.
But unlike before as well, with our previous guitarist, it took a while for us to get a tune together. But now I find with Alex and stuff, like, each jam we go to, we're just
straight away bringing
straight
something
away,
out. We haven't hit a wall. I think we're almost writing too quick. That you know, we plan to record hopefully later on in the year, but we could have done almost two separate EPs now, but because we're writing so fast,
we want it to be perfect.
Yeah, we want to make sure that each song that we have on is the best ones, you know, because it's happening so quick, and we're figuring everything out. With, you know, our writing is getting so much better that something that we wrote a week ago might already not excite us anymore, but a week ago we thought, like, this is definitely on the EP, and then we'd start working on something new, and we've just forgotten about that old thing. We're like, no, what were we thinking?
Just when I think about it, like, a couple of times we figured out like some parts, some song ideas, and then never used them again because they were not exciting us anymore, like, a week later. The ideas just keep coming.
Amid all of that flux then in studio, with all of these ideas coming to you and everything kind of happening at the presence that it is, when you sit down to kind of work out these ideas, or you kind of decide that an idea is finished, or a song is finished, or the bones of a song have been kind of put down, etc., what's the process for yourselves in terms of, number one, you know, everybody all together deciding, okay, this is done, it's time to beat it into shape for a live performance, and especially with these, with this brace of gigs coming up with Sex Hardcore. Again, bring us into getting a new set put together live, including this new material, and how everything's whipped into shape.
Yeah, like, I think with the new songs as well, I guess it's just trying to, I have a natural thing of being like, you want to save your best for last, so you try to put all your new songs at the end, but it's just more making a show than just being like, okay, here's a song, thank you, here's a song, thank you, you know, like making an actual cohesive show.
Have like dynamics going on.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
When you just hear set, it's not just like it get better towards the end, so it's like a little bit up and down for the emotions. Like
one of
the newest songs that we play, you will hear when we play it. I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, we really try to keep it interesting and to mix it up.
Yeah, that, I think that's a, I wouldn't say a departure on what we've done before, but I think it's more
like an evolution.
Yeah, yeah. It's like what we did, got like won the lotto and just took so much cocaine on a yacht with loads of naked women and
yacht
men
metal.
And men. It's okay, we don't mind. But anyway, cocaine. Anyway, yeah.
Excellent. Speaking of cocaine, we're going to head back to some more tunes there. joining you on your excursion, give us some dates there and give us the skinny on support.
So June 27th, we have in Belfast with Sex Hardcore and Axecatcher, and one more to be announced.
Fucking Axecatcher, you don't see them live.
Yeah, we
too
played.
Much anymore.
I think the last we played with them in
Dublin
a while ago. Yeah, yeah. Like, cause they lost the singer and they started getting back as a three piece, and they have a new EP out now that is absolutely banging. So we have to play with them. We have to bring them over. Well, we're going up to them, so we have to bring them over to their own house.
Fair enough.
The next day then is the 28th in Fred's. So we have Order 66 from Dublin, we have Selkies, we have Sex Hardcore, and then we have ourselves.
Time and door tax?
It's 9 p.m. doors and 8 magical beans. Yeah.
Fantastic. Splitting the double headliner duties on that tour with you are Belfast lads, Sex Hardcore, and this is their tune End. How did you happen across the lads?
We played with them in Dublin, I'd say. When was that? It was March, I think.
Yeah, it was March. Like, we just get to know those guys there.
Yeah, we fell in love with them. Like, they are so good. Most of their songs are like 30 seconds long. They're just so good.
They did a Nine Inch Nails cover as well, which is unbelievable.
That also run 30 seconds.
Yeah.
No, not really. No, but Xander and I, we were going nuts when they started to play. We were looking at each other. Oh my god, it's Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
So good.
I think they got one of the best quotes out of us, where it was I think when we talked to them after, like, I went up to him and was like, oh man, you were so good. You look like Trash Talk. And then you did a cover of Trash Talk. That was cool.
Or what Brian said, those guys either play really fast or they play really slow.
Yeah.
Speaking of lads playing really doomishly and really either really fast or really slow, depending on the situation, Horse, one of the most unlikely crossover successes, fresh off of their soundtracking of the Arm Wrestling Championship of Cork City at It Takes a Village Festival.
I saw that.
With Dragging, great. Taken from their split 12-inch with Bisect.
I think Dragging is an absolute banging tune. I think the actual groove of that, I think there's that relentless straight riffing just the whole way through, just really nails it in. Groove-wise, I think that's my favourite thing about that tune is just the groove of it. It's relentless, like.
The chorus groove in particular.
Yeah, but just that intro and it and everything. And, like, the video is great. Rob did the video for that. It's just heavy. It's really groovy and heavy. Like, I think that's what I'm always looking for, and I found it in that.
Their other track off their part of the split 12 with Bisect is ridiculous as well.
Is that Fun
Drone?
Or Draw? Yeah.
Like, it's just the rottenest, you know, most discordant riffing that they have done to date.
Yeah.
And even that's, you know, what, 6 to 12 months ago, and the stuff that they're playing now, the new stuff that they're unveiling on social,
I think they could
ridiculous.
Be like one of the funniest bands to watch as well. I just love, there's a certain level of, like, they take the music seriously, but they just don't take themselves seriously.
Oh,
so comforting about that, about not getting up and being like, thinking that you're bigger than you are. It's like they're just having fun, and when you watch people have fun, you have fun, you loosen up, and it just becomes more enjoyable that way.
Did you see them at the Kino a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago?
I did, yeah, with the Crippler CrossFit.
The wrestling match,
it was the Walls of Jericho,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, launched Mini in the Walls of Jericho.
Oh, it was class.
To take the win at 28 minutes into their set.
Yeah, yeah. That was with, that was
God Alone's album launch,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was very
good. Kino, which is tremendous. Right, we're going to get a headlock on the playlist here. This is Sex Hardcore with End here on Red on Red.
We'll be right back.
Horse with Dragging here on Red on Red. Still joined in studio by members of Warnout ahead of their gig on the 28th at Fred Zeppelin's with Selkies and Sex Heart. For more information, check out Warnout on Facebook and Twitter. That gig on the 28th in Fred's, your first headliner, as you mentioned earlier. A little bit of apprehension, a little bit of excitement, a little bit of nervousness that I can tell for your first headline engagement. But really, the Red Room...
I ain't nervous at all, man. I'm ready to go.
Oh,
like.
Yeah. We're giving it
ready
all.
Ready to go.
The Red Room upstairs on Parliament Street, Fred Zeppelin's, Cork City's great rock and metal survivor over the past two decades. Talk to us, I suppose, a little bit about your own relationship personally and as musicians with Fred's and what the venue has meant to you as metalers in Cork City.
Let's keep it short. Pints.
Pints.
No.
Shots of Jaeger.
Jaeger more so than pints, I think, is more synonymous with it at this stage.
Yeah.
I'm not even from Cork's, but I think we had like our worst gig and one of our best gigs in Cork in Fred's. Like the one venue was, we've had one of the worst gigs we've ever played and probably one of the best ones we've ever played. So it's an all rounder, really. Like,
it's a great venue though. It's very intimate. I like the size and stuff and all your mates come up, so it's a good spot.
In terms of the changes that it's undergone over the years and how it's kind of arrived at where it is now, stage setup and what have you, I suppose, what are some of the idiosyncrasies and kind of the pros and cons of playing Fred's?
I think especially when Pavel's there, like when Pavel's doing sound, like you know you're going to sound huge. You know what I mean? And it's, I think for the type of music that we're playing, it's such a perfect venue because it is so intimate and it's very easy to kind of get everyone sweaty and involved straight away. You know, when people go, a lot of time when people go up to Fred's, they almost know what's going to happen. They know it's someone's going to jump off something. It's going to happen, but, you know.
Yeah.
So it's I think it is an extremely iconic venue as well. The amount of bands that have come through there, like I've
Cancer Bats,
yeah, absolutely. Like there was. See, this is the thing, was I, not being from Cork, like even being in Kilkenny, I knew through Bebo, like you'd just see the amount of bands that were coming through Cork and just being so jealous. That I remember the first time I went to Fred's, going up to a gig there, just being like, oh my god, this is that place that I keep hearing about.
Being a Kilkenny man yourself, would you not have the compunction to put on some shows inside and like Clears of the set?
Oh, I put on, look, we did a show in Clears with a Baylor last summer. Probably will never happen again, but it was great fun.
It's always difficult to kind of try and introduce.
I'm trying to reintroduce almost now, like bring it. Like there was a great crowd. I think it was just a bit too insane. But we had a great night. Like, I mean, since the days of the Zoo, like the all ages gigs, if it wasn't for those gigs, I don't know where I'd be. Like I've met so many people that I'm still very good friends with. If we didn't have those all ages gigs, I don't know where we would have been able to play. And they weren't just, you know, small all ages gigs with a crappy PA in the corner. It was a good venue, you know.
Yeah.
It was properly run. It was everything about it was done right. So you're getting that professionalism straight away. Even on your first gig, you're getting really good setup. The bands that are coming through are probably going to be really good. And there was just such a huge scene. But as time went on, it kind of died and there was nothing left, really.
There's kind of an analogous scene to that in Cork City and a little bit in North Cork, which you can put down to venue closures, the economic recession, but also how, you know, culture has been consumed. All of a sudden, live gigs is competing with, as the kids turn 18, pre-drinks and all of this, as well as Xbox, Netflix. That kind of period of 3 to 5 years at the outset of the recession kind of really changed how a younger generation kind of interfaced with music. And while that's changed again in recent times, it's still one of those things to where in a smaller town it can be a little bit more difficult to smaller town. Kilkenny has the audacity to call itself a city.
Damn right.
That's a bone of contention that we have. The general thing is reintroducing a genre to a city or town that hasn't had it in quite some time can be a bit of a daunting task, especially if it's not been there for younger people to indulge with and engage with.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, like the Zoo, after it was the Zoo, I think it turned into a strip club. So that's like, I always said they should do both. They should run gigs and a strip club, but nobody wants to listen.
Please
to me.
Do both at the same time.
Yeah, and then now it's, I think it's like
there's a... no more joined up thinking.
Yeah. No, it's a casino now, but I think I was there two or three years ago, I went down just even to see what it was like. And it's so strange being in there because it's a casino. Everything, it's laid out the same. There's no stage and you're playing blackjack where you played one of your worst gigs of your life, or one of your first gigs, and like all this. And it's very odd. But I know there is talk of a few. There's so many people that do want all ages gigs and more shows back in Kilkenny. And there's a group, I think it's the Marble Index, and I can see everybody talking about it, and just the different things that are getting in the way now with different licensing laws that weren't there previously. So, you know, a lot of things are different, and it's not as easy as just setting up somewhere and playing. There's insurance things now, and just trying to find an actual venue that will allow people under 18 to come in is not as easy as it used to be, I think.
Just fuck a PA into the back of a roller coaster.
I thought you meant an actual roller coaster for a second. I was like, I am booking that tonight. Like, yeah, well, they do. I mean, roller coaster have shows, all right. But I mean, like, I'm trying to think of having a full band, like where we had the Zoo. I know after the Zoo, a few years later, they tried to do it. And so where? No, someone's going to kill me now because I can't remember where it was. But it just, something about it just didn't work. It was the Zoo had something, and I just don't, if they can figure out how to replicate it or bottle it, it will come back. But it's just trying to figure out what it was, you know, maybe the right venue. And I don't even know if there's younger bands in Kilkenny. There's one or two that I know of that got onto us about supporting the last time we played, but a lot of the time it was bands from Carlow that were getting on just because they heard there was a show in Kilkenny. But with anything of a heavier aspect, I'm not really sure there was that many at the time going on. There was Out of Habit, the two-piece punk that we ended up getting supporting, but apart from that, I'm actually not too sure if there was. That's why putting on the show, I didn't know what way it was going to go. I didn't know if there was going to be people show up at all, if people cared, but there was a lot of people showed up. So there is, it is an option to still do it, as long as people put themselves out there to actually go down and play those shows, then people will come to it.
This is Red on Red, Cork's official podcast of the Kilkenny metal scene. And coming up, we have more tunes from your playlist. No Spill Blood, one-third Corkonian synth-punk act with No Retreat, taken from their Street Meat EP.
Yeah, that was Brian's choice. Brian absolutely liked No Spill Blood are great. Brian went for that. Brian's at a tap dancing lesson, so he couldn't make it today.
Shout out to Brian.
Yeah. he has his his grade 8 in tap dancing, I think, coming up. So he's
doing really, really well.
He's doing absolutely so good with his tap dancing as well. Like, we didn't think he had the ankles for it.
But that's just because he got the steroids from Baylor. Right?
He got steroids from the lads. But
That's finally officially confirmed. There's going to be an investigative podcast about the dealing of anabolic steroids in the Cork hardcore scene, right?
Yeah. We don't take them, though.
Yeah.
We're not those kind of guys. We
clean.
Clean, yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky there isn't a lie detector in Studio 4 at Red FM. You also have Kroza with Iosis, taken from their 2017 demo.
They're just chunky, like. They just, like, I mean this in the nicest way, but their music sounds smelly. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just so chunky and slow, and they've... We saw them with Soothsayer, when was it? Like, about two weeks ago.
Yeah.
And this is with the new lineup as well. And like, I think with I think their bass tone is so important to their sound. And they, is it Tomas is the new
Tomas is the new bassist, yeah.
He nailed it, man. He really, really nailed it. And they just sounded like such a driving force of smelly rock. And it was brilliant. I loved it.
Kroza coming up via Smellovision on the Red on Red podcast. But first, this is No Spill Blood with No Retreat here on Red on Red. We'll be right back. Corroza with Iosis here on Red on Red, still joined in studio by the lads from Worn Out. And just before we wrap up the show, quick question that I meant to ask you at the other side of the jump there. We talked about the health of the Cork music scene, and in particular your timing regarding entering a re-emergent metal and hardcore scene in Cork City. Kind of, what are your thoughts on the scene at present? What are some of the advantages and some of the challenges for you as a band and as gig goers in the city?
I think the scene is very, very strong, and I think it's been said, I've heard a lot of people say this for the last while, being like, Cork is gradually becoming bigger, you know, maybe even just the names of certain bands are getting around more, like God Alone and Baylor, and we're going to other places and playing a lot, so it's just spreading the name. I'm just hoping that there's more, you know, new bands that keep starting, because I think that's the main, like, you know, if there's not more bands starting, then it's, you're only going to have a certain amount that will end up just playing with each other all the time. So like, if anyone's thinking of starting a band, just do it, like, do you know what I mean? There's so many options when you're in Cork that I think people just don't realise, like.
To coin a phrase from your interview with Totally Cork a couple of years ago now at this stage.
Oh yeah, I did say that. I said start a band.
No,
yeah,
that's the one.
I still stand by that. Like,
iconic. Just before we head away, Fred's the 28th, Selkies, Sex Hardcore, Worn Out,
and Order 66
happening at Fred's. €8 at the door. 9 p.m. kickoff. We talked a little bit about your thoughts heading into it, but I suppose for people that haven't seen Worn Out before, maybe checking out for the first time that you're in a headline set, what can we expect from a Worn Out live show?
Energy.
Absolute mayhem for this.
Zender going nuts in the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, you get make sure you're there so you can carry me when I jump on top of you.
Yeah, I'm pretty focused on making this insane.
We've worked hard to get a headline show together. We've our set list sorted now. We have a new guitarist.
New sound.
Ready to go.
Yeah, we're just like this. We're just going balls to the wall. You know, like, there's no stopping it. Like, there's nothing slowing us down. We're headstrong. We all know what we want. We're just going to go for it.
That's what you want. You can find Worn Out across social media on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And you can check out the videos for their singles so far on YouTube. You can find Worn Out singles also on the streaming services.
Yeah. Spotify. You can download them for free on Bandcamp. And I think they're on iTunes.
They're also on iTunes and Apple Music. So you can get everything over there too.
You have no excuse.
No excuse. Get your homework done before the big show on the 28th. That's all for this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast from Red FM and redextra.ie. Thank you very much to the lads from Worn Out, Evan, Xander and Alex, for joining us this episode.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you very much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please take the time to subscribe and leave a review on Apple and Google Podcasts. Subscribe to us on Spotify as well as other podcasting platforms. Each like, each review helps boost our profile and helps drive more traffic our way. So make sure and do your bit to spread the word. Share this on your social media and make sure to check out the artists featured online or at an upcoming gig. And if you'd like more Irish tunes, please be sure to listen in to Green on Red on Sunday nights with Alan O'Donovan for the best of all that is Irish on Cork's Red FM. 104 to 106. A bit of a step change in the playlist to round up proceedings. Cork hip-hop doomsayer Speculative Fiction with Google, taken from his album Effigies last year with Mankey.
Sean's just class.
He is.
He's so good.
Hi, Sean.
Hello, Sean. But I think Google and there's another tune. I don't know if he has it fully recorded, but I think it's when he supported Immortal Technique in the PAV. It was Tree Huggers.
That became Cultures of Abundance.
Oh, yeah.
On the night headset.
So it's just, Sean, it's just banging. Speculative Fiction is banging. There's no, what else can you say? Like, the beats are sick. Lyrics are very inspired. He's hot.
He's unreasonably handsome.
Oh, he's gorgeous.
And he is the pillar of modern hip hop in Cork City.
Oh, definitely.
He's been doing it for a ridiculous amount of time, commensurate to, I suppose, the comeback of hip-hop in Cork City.
He was also in a black metal band.
He was in a doom metal band.
Doom metal.
People of the Monolith.
Yeah, that was it.
This Weary Hour.
I'm still waiting on my EP. He played it to me once, and this is like 4 or 5 years ago, and every time I run into him, I ask him, "What do you have it?" It's like, it's in the car. The car is about half an hour away. I'll get it someday.
there's like a rake of the CDs just still in their sleeve.
I think he actually does. Like, he has maybe like that and like a change of clothes, just loads and loads of his old band that he just gives out for free.
For the wedding band.
Yeah,
that's the other stuff he's got the suit happening as well. We're going to leave you there, so, with Speculative Fiction and Google. This has been Red on Red, and we'll talk to you next week.
Terror schemes and Semtex seizures. Best wake up and smell the diesel. Life is stress, but the dead rest easy. Unless you got an on-off switch like electric heaters. Systematic messages of doom and despair. Suicidal shit like spooning a bear. Sticks in the head like glue in your hair. Fuck learning, that's why Google is there. But this mentality is flimsy and callous, and trying to keep up with it's like sprinting in sandals. I place my focus on linguistics and samples, and get respected for my effortless chatter. A scene saturated with raps about other rappers, like the shit even matters. Specs on a good thing, it's feckin' timeless, like the tetrapod footprints on Valencia Island. Sorry lads, no point trying.
Red.